Welcome again. It would be a perfect meeting today if we were all at a certain place in the Bible, which is signified here by the 12th verse in the 21st chapter of John. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And then he breaketh, taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now there are other translations of come and dine, which are more accurate. The world, today as then, has been in a form of fasting from truth. Just as we are to fast from untruth, we have been fasting from reality. And when the Master says, come and dine, he's really saying to his disciples, break your fast. He isn't saying, come and dine, he's saying, let us have breakfast. Let us break our fast now from the unreality. Let us sup now on that which is real. And so he takes fish and bread to them. This breaking of the fast is where we should be. In our consciousness, we should be breaking the fast from mortality, from materiality, from that which is not of the Father. We should be ready to dine. And this is now exemplified further in the 18th and 19th verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Thus spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. You'll find that later in Peter, the second epistle, the first chapter in the 14th verse, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Peter acknowledges that he must put off this tabernacle as Christ showed him. Now, old and young here refer to spirit. When you were spiritually young and spiritually mature. And when we were young, we girded ourselves and walked where we wished. We were in human will. But as we become spiritually mature, we are girded by another. In short, the Christ takes over and we walk in divine will. And this is where the disciples are as the gospel ends. Walking in divine will, the new man released, the old self impersonalized. And today, when we take up world work, we'll find a few secrets about it. We have been in the process of learning truth. And as Joel points out as he begins the chapter 12 in realization of oneness, there is now a point where many are able to avoid the disasters of the world. And he says that's not enough. There's no problem avoiding the disasters of the world if you're in truth. It shall not come nigh thee. But now he says, you haven't been learning just so you could avoid the disasters of this world. Now you must become a center of light unto the world, a place where truth is demonstrated, not as an individual alone, but as a universal truth. And so when he bids us to take up world work, the first thought we have is, oh, we're going to now help the world. And we must learn we're not going to help the world at all. World work is quite different than helping the world. The secret behind world work is twofold. One is that you are learning that the world is the veil where yourself is. Your world work is to unveil your own self. We have been thinking in terms of our human selfhood, and even when we accept spirituality, we still think in terms of a limited personal spiritual selfhood, and there is none. World work is the expression of your infinity as being. When you rest in the Word and know the truth of the world, you are merely finding yourself as an infinite being. And therefore, in every book, when Joel speaks of world work, the real secret is his revelation there to those of us who have eyes, that we are not to live within the boundaries of a mortal concept. When you are able to, through the knowledge of the one self, reveal the non-existence of material powers on the earth, you are really finding the one God. You are believing in God. To believe in God takes a new turn now. You cannot believe in God only where you are or around the corner. You must believe in only God. There can be no second belief. Our world work is the expression of our belief in God as a universal self. And there is a further development as we deepen and make a greater penetration into reality. Now then, we have been ordained. We have been chosen. We have been chosen through Scripture, although we had not realized that we were chosen. We have been chosen to walk a separate path than the world. We have been chosen to bear witness to the activity of God in human consciousness. And if you do not accept the fact that God has chosen you to function as a light upon the earth, then this is not believing in God. Because the words of Scripture are very clear that you may not hide your light under a bushel. That you are here to be a faithful witness. That you are here to be a transparency. That you are here to Christ the world. Not to love it or hate it or fear it, but to Christ it. You are here to bless the world. And as you survey the activity of Christ on earth, appearing as Jesus, you will see that by words and by deeds, everything that was done was to make you aware that this is the Christ of your own being appearing in what we call mortal flesh. The words of the Christ were the words of yourself. The deeds of the Christ were the deeds of yourself. And they were words and deeds to show you the nature of your own being. We must now look at Jesus Christ in another way, as the outer expression of your own self. And the ordainment comes from that Christ of your own self saying, now believe on me. Follow me. Deny your own mortality. Pick up your cross of mortality. Do not hide your light. but walk in the footsteps of the visible Christ. This is the ordainment, and it must take us out of the desire to improve our personal conditions. That is the very purpose of world work. It is not to improve the world. It is to lift you out of the belief that you are a finite being, and that where the world seems to be, you are. Now, when you practice world work, it may seem to you that you're doing a favor to someone somewhere, that you're helping them behind the Iron Curtain, or you're helping them in the White House, or you're helping someone somewhere, but you're not. Until you are willing to step outside of the mortal boundaries of the mind, and without desire for personal reward, do world work, you are not accepting the infinity of your own being. It is a subtle way in which Joel has lifted us up to look face to face at our own infinity and either reject it or accept it. Now, while you are doing world work, you may not seem to be meeting your own personal problems, and yet that is the way to meet them. The world work you do will take you out of the false sense of self, which has the sense of personal problems. And so Joel is stressing again and again, in more ways than meets the eye, that you must be taken out of your own sense of self. You must learn to give of yourself to something bigger than a person, to something bigger than helping persons anywhere. Giving the universe back to God. Now, in our world work, then, we're going to find that we're not thinking of ourselves. We're not thinking of my lot in life. We're not thinking of my physical condition. We're not thinking of our finances. We're not thinking of anything that will make us enjoy life more. And if you've been touched by the vision of truth, you know that is the way in which all of the doors of the inner mansions open. As long as there's a remnant of personal self left in us, which is still saying, "What about me?" we have lost the way, and we are separated. Among the last words of the Master within were, "Feed my sheep." But who are my sheep, when all is one Christ? Do you see how that has been hidden from the world? We could open kitchens for the poor. That wouldn't feed the sheep. You would still leave them in dying bodies. Always the desire to help and to overhelp and to be a crusader has hidden the fact that feeding my sheep means to recognize the universal Christ. Now, as you sit back and think of the many teeming ideas that come to you all day about how you should improve yourself, remember, you are living in a limited sense of self when you do that. The great vision of unselfing was brought to mankind by the crucifixion. When Joel says, "Impersonalize," and Christ Jesus walks forth and shows crucifixion, you are hearing the same word. To impersonalize and to crucify are identical. Every time you impersonalize, you are crucifying a false concept. One word is more harsh, but it is also more total. It is the word we have to face. In order to be free, you must live in truth. And you cannot live in truth as long as you believe that God created human flesh. Now then, if we're going to do world work, we're not going to improve human flesh. As Joel puts it, we're not going to go behind the Iron Curtain surreptitiously, because Christ is already there. Now, are you ready to make a turn that will be very significant? If you are accepting truth, if you are willing to agree that because God did not create human flesh, that flesh is not here, that whatever God did not create is not here, that something else must be here, and it is the universal spirit, your world work is to rest in the conscious knowledge that universal spirit everywhere is the only presence and is unopposed. There's nothing for you to do beyond the recognition, the acknowledgement of the universal Christ. That will encompass loving God supremely. It will encompass loving your neighbor. It will include everything that is taught as a principle. The recognition that only universal spirit is present. Now, in universal spirit, there can be no sickness or war, no death or disease, no lack, no limitation. And therefore, we're not trying to remove these things. We're recognizing their non-existence. We are maintaining a transparent divine consciousness, which is unconditioned, which knows no mortal powers, no material powers, no human powers. It does not acknowledge evil, and therefore it does not seek to remove evil. It does not resist evil. It does not try to dissolve evil. We recognize only invisible spirit, in which evil has no existence. And knowing this truth, you rest in this truth. And that spirit which you recognize to be universal is the spirit of your being. Now, if these facts are clear, then we must find, where is this human flesh? Where are these world conditions? Where are the evils? Where are the problems? Where are the limitations? Where are the errors? The martyrdom of Peter was that he was going to die to the flesh, to be born of the Spirit. The Father has no pleasure in our dying. Our death is the glorification of our spirit. Our death is the death of all material concepts. In the death of material concept, we are obeying the scripture which says, the Father takes no pleasure in your dying, wherefore turn ye and live. Now the turn is, and this comes fittingly, at the end of our long journey, opening a new door, the turn for us must be that the world out there is not there. And there is a practice for you which must be begun in earnest. If you have glimpsed it from time to time, or practiced it from time to time, now is the time to accelerate. Turn ye. There is no event in this world that is out there, and there are no exceptions. Whatever you see out there is within your mortal mind. And we want to learn how to place it correctly within our mortal mind and then dismiss it. It may be an army, but it isn't out there. It may be an epidemic, but it isn't out there. It may be an ocean, but it isn't out there. There is nothing out there but God. And all that you believe to be out there with the mortal mind exists only within the mortal mind. And you can tuck it safely into that mortal mind and forget it. Now, at our pinnacle of this work, we must take the events of the world and locate them within ourselves, never outside. So I mean that wherever you look, whoever you see is within you. There is no outside. There was no outside to Christ. There is no outside to you, for the Spirit of God has no outside. Now the in-self of you is the everywhere. The self of you then, which is here, is also there and everywhere, and there is no outside to everywhere. The moment you have something happening outside yourself, you are not believing in God. You are not believing in yourself. You are not believing yourself to be spirit. Spirit has no outside. Now perhaps you own some property. It is within your mortal mind. Perhaps you own an automobile or a home or some land or a business. They are all within your mortal mind. Perhaps you have children or parents. They are within your mortal mind. Perhaps you have a physical body. It is within your mortal mind. Everything in the world is within your mortal mind. And there must be a conscious knowing of this from time to time to time. Daily. There must be periods of knowing that which I see out there, whatever its name or nature, is within my mortal mind. The entire world is within my mortal mind. And to consciously take events, incidents, things, people, forms, conditions, objects, and to quietly know that which I see out there is within me. It has no power other than the power I have given it. When I know it is within me, and rest with that knowledge within me until a realization of that truth comes, that there is no outside, everything is within me, then that which is outside visibly loses its power. That was the secret of Hezekiah. They have only the arm of flesh, meaning they are nothing but my own mortal thought. All form, all person, all event or condition. And as you dwell with this, contemplating it, swiftly acknowledging it to be not an external something but an inner idea or thought, and resting with it for a moment to wash it with silence, you will discover that there is really no world outside. And you are turning. You are opening the way for a new life. You are learning what Peter learned that day from the Master. Here is bread and here is fish. Come and dine. Break your mortal fast. Dine on the truth of being. To live mystically is to recognize the world has no existence except in human thought. The acknowledgement of this must be followed with the abiding in it, consciously daily. There must be periods of abiding in this truth before you have the true inner experience that the world in the outer has always been a concept maintained only by world mind in every individual being. That is why there are no powers. That is why there is no disease. That is why there is no death. But this means nothing unless you learn to live with this awareness. And when you do, you find that you don't have employees or employers. You don't have students or teachers. This is all external, and there is no external. Bring it back into the within of your mind. Recognize it to be your conscious awareness of an outer which only exists in your conscious awareness. And then you have located the trap of mortal mind. And rest in the Word. God is not flesh, and God is all. Where is the flesh? God is not a blade of grass, and God is all. Where is the blade of grass? God is not an ocean. Where is the ocean? God is none of this world. Where is this world? It simply never was there. Yourself is there. And until you are willing and ready and able to tuck the world within your mortal mind and rest there until you know that's where it always has been, it never could get out of there. When you have done this many times, it will dawn upon you that Christ Jesus lived in heaven where men saw earth, and that all of the miracles were the revelation that what we thought was outside never was there. Our concept was changed by the Christ, and we saw a different outside and called it an improvement. We were still looking at the good instead of the bad. And Joel has taken us to see that neither the good is there nor the bad. And so now, living mystically, you have this way of life. First, you must know the unreality of all evil. It isn't out there. If it were, then God wouldn't be there. Step number one, the unreality of evil, which must be followed by the unreality of good. When you have neither evil out there nor good out there, you are believing in the omnipresence of God's Spirit. And then you rest in the Word. And the truth you know that neither good is out there nor evil is out there, quickly or eventually sets you free. For if you know the truth that there is no world of good matter or of evil matter, no good conditions and no bad conditions, no good people and no bad people, you are living in the inner spirit, which is the allness. You are accepting that only God is. Now we're closing the gap between God and man. We believe in God, but do we believe in God's self as ourself? Are we willing to close the gap into one? Are we willing finally to take the book and accept what it tells us, that God is one, and beside God there is no other, and therefore to exist at all I must be that one? You believe in God, now believe in me, says the Christ. You believe in God, now believe in yourself. And finally, the last form that you impersonalize may be your own. It never was there either. It too is a mortal concept. All that you could ever be is the mystical body of Christ. We have tucked the world in where it belongs, in the world mind. We have tucked the world mind into our own little mind, knowing that our mind and the world mind are one and the same. And the world now is safely tucked within us. It really has no power when you know that. Pilate, you do not exist out there. You seem to be, but I know you're not out there. You're simply an idea in the world mind. You're an idea in my mind, and that's why thou couldst have no power. If I thought you were a person out there, you'd have lots of power. All disease is seen the same way. It only has power because we think it's out there. Tuck it into your mind. That's the only place it is. And you can say, what did hinder thee? There was nothing out there to hinder you except the Spirit of God. Tuck your business into your mind. Tuck your students into your mind. Tuck your employees into your mind. They're not out there. The only place they exist is within your mind. And rest in the knowledge that all that is out there is yourself. And this is the way you release grace into your life. Once the world is no longer there, there's no more duality. There's no more separation. You don't believe in separate lives. You don't believe in people who are growing up and dying someday. You're not malpracticing the world, watching it and believing in mortal bodies. You're accepting the dispensation of the true life. Now whoever reaches the level then where they can accept and realize the non-existence of an external world, is one who can answer the call that says, I have chosen thee. That one is prepared by those who have attained and have become invisible already, and is lifted up to the point where they enter the realm of soul and can behold the activity of Christ in the consciousness of the world. They become a witness of Christ. And they find that in their new dispensation, their sole function is to leaven the consciousness of the world by living and abiding and dwelling in the truth of Spirit as an omnipresent reality without opposite. Nothing comes nigh their dwelling. Nothing attacks them. They're not limited, because they have discovered that all that exists is the one self. They have reached the realization that the one self that exists is their name. And they see this as a universal truth. Wherever you look, you are looking at yourself. And wherever you are not aware that you are looking at yourself, you are in duality, because there is no other self than your own. In this one undivided consciousness, you find that Christ is truly living itself as the only power. First, the unreality of evil. Tuck it within you in the mortal mind and see that that's the only place it is. Or you can give it 100 reasons why it can't be there, because you know God is there. And now tuck the good and see the unreality of that in your mortal mind. And then rest in the knowledge that only Spirit is present. There is no outside world. This practice as many times a day as you find you can will deepen you unto the knowledge that you have found the river of truth. You'll finally remove the shadow of mortality. And then you will be prepared to fulfill your function on this earth. Our function is manifold. We are here to bear witness of the one light. We are here to be faithful witness to the truth that only God exists. We are here to demonstrate the universal nature of Christ. All of this takes us out of the personal self, the personal ambition, the personal desire, the personal need, the personal want. That was yesterday's mortal mind consciousness for those who have graduated, who have turned and are living mystically. They're moving toward the next world, which is the true universe behind this world, in which we all live not for personal selfhood, but simply to express divinity. If a person were deeply ambitious, it would now be wise to take a good second look at the complete Gospel of John, privately, by yourself. You will notice how every deed is a revelation of the invisible nature of Christ where the world had seen form in the outer. How every word is a statement by the invisible Christ, which the world interpreted to be the words of Jesus. And you will find that every word spoken by Christ is the truth of your being. There is not a single word spoken by Christ that is not true of you, because that Christ speaking those words is you. I am the life. Where is the other life? What other life is there if I, Christ, am the life? We lose all belief in separated human lives. We find there is no life on this earth that can die. We find death is the belief in separated lives. There is no life to die. I am the life. All human death was a mortal mind concept, a sense illusion. But so is human life. We must see that there is no reality to the evil and no reality to the good. Always present is the invisible spirit of your own being. Now we share then one invisible spiritual being. This is who we are. What's bad for you is bad for me. What's good for you is good for me. Whatever you know is going to have some effect on everyone else. You never seek personal good anymore. There's nothing to seek. I already am that self. You're not concerned about time 2,000 years ago. It never existed. The self that I am now is the self that always was and always will be. You see, this is the consciousness you need to do the world work, and this is the consciousness that is developed as you do the world work. The Christ controls what we have thought of as weather, what we have thought of as conditions, as epidemics, as plagues, as floods and fires. And in the knowledge that these are in the external only in mortal mind and nowhere else, we are now in a position to join those who have walked before us and who spiritually, invisibly now are doing world work. We can actually be one with our own invisible self, which are termed the invisible spirits of the world. Many of the higher dimension consciousness have come down behind us to help us, and fortunately some in this dimension can rise up to a higher. And we are all joining that one household now to live not in the world of effects. Our grace is not going to come by prayer to God in the sky. That outmoded method of life is over for us. And as we develop now, accepting my spirit is omnipresent, my spirit is omnipresent and omniscient, my spirit is the only power, we countenance no opposite. We know that every opposite to my perfect power, my perfect presence, my perfect knowing
is a false concept in a human mind. Never getting outside that mind, even though it appears out there. You might see it this way. On the screen of a movie, you're looking at how the West was won. And half hour later, there's another movie there, all about The Godfather. But they're both appearing on the same screen. Where are they actually happening? In that little millimeter film, which contains everything that goes on the screen. And no matter how the scene shifts on the screen, you may see 50 different scenes on the screen, it's all in that little millimeter of the film. So it is that no matter what you see out there in this world, it's all within the mortal mind. That's the only place it is. The rest is consciousness objectified. Always bring it back into the little film. That's the only place it is. It has no power there when you recognize that's where it's located. And as Joel said, if it's an atom bomb, what difference? If you get it back into the film, if you get it back into the world mind, into the individual human mind, and see, that's the only place it is. It never is out there. There is no out there. Only God is out there. And I'll close the gap and see God out there and God where I am are one and the same. All that's out there is my spirit. Don't make God a separate self. There is no second to God. There's only God life. Now you're qualified, as you develop this capacity, to do world work. You're ready to be a light. You can be a transparency for the truth. And it makes no difference what world conditions come into view. One with spirit is a majority. And so we have been trained to bless the world by knowing its non-existence, by releasing man from the belief that he is a creature who walks under two powers, under material law, under world karma. We're saying, get thee behind me, Satan. You only exist, the only devil there is material sense. And because material sense paints a picture of an objectified world out there, when I lose material sense, that world is dissolved. It may continue to appear, but it will slowly undergo a transformation as my consciousness rises. Yes, you can escape the disasters of the world individually. But now you're putting that knowledge into practice to lift the world above the disasters. Now, the way we can practice world work is to consider that the world is our patient. Up to now, individually we've been treating one person here and one person there to learn that your real patient is the world. And just as you may have witnessed some success with one here and one there, now we must witness success by accepting the world as not the creation of God and therefore only an inner idea. We can rest. That is all inclusive. We don't have to pinpoint. We might take and out a situation which seems to have occurred right out there, right outside, right now. And see the nothingness of all that appears external. The presence of God is all we acknowledge. Here, there, is the one Spirit. Now try to know that there is no out there. And then be still. Now, over the next few months, we're going to set up a program so that instantly we can recognize conditions that appear in the world and come into a realization of their non-reality as external events. Oh, you can think of many kinds of such conditions. And wherever you are, it will be your function to live in the truth of your own being, knowing that yourself is where the forest fire seems to be. Yourself is where the hurricane seems to be. Yourself is where poverty seems to be. They won't be starving children in India to you. They'll be your invisible self, one invisible self, where many starving children seem to be. And don't look for the children to stop starving because you did that. This is your way of acknowledging one self. This is your way of acknowledging God supremely. We won't turn back and say, now, is it better? We won't get out a yardstick and measure the wound. But you'll discover as you proceed in this method that grace begins to envelop your own life in a new way. Because the bread you cast out through your recognition of one invisible self without an external world comes back and expresses as the one self and its divine qualities in that which appears as the world, in the world, as yourself. You'll find many people are healed that you don't know about, but someone, somewhere, through your work, reaching out for truth, is touched and lifted. And that is why this is a selfless work. You're not trying to help a specific person ever. You're trying to live in truth. It's a broader vision, which Joel brought us, that as we live in truth, it makes us free. Let's take a brief intermission, and then let's explore the chapter very carefully.